We have made it to a crucial part, ladies and gentlemen, of the NFL draft, or the road to the NFL draft, I should say, and that is Pro Days. We have made it to Pro Days. Pro Days have been going on through all of March. We're going to discuss the start of it. We're going to discuss four main Pro Days today: Oregon, Ohio State, USC, and Alabama's Pro Days. Next week, we'll talk about North Carolina and LSU's, because there's some good stuff. But that's next week. We're going to talk about the main four today. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL as well, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, including top two trades, a couple of good free agency signings, and, well, the last two episodes I've titled Pull Up a Chair. Well, if you want me to keep saying it, I'll keep saying it. You're going to want to pull up a chair for this one too, because I have a lot to say on what's going on around the National Football League right now. Guys, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and pretty chilly Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris. And whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, or listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Now, X, Instagram, and Facebook, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates, news, and highlights from across college and NFL football on X. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's NFL question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, if you want to check out the new website, go and do it. www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com is the home of the official Pigskin Frenzy website. We got a lot of stuff on there coming up. We're going to, you know, upgrade it soon enough, but it's already up and running. Store coming soon. We have affiliations page, which brings me to our partnership. And, well, guys, if you want to have, and if you're watching me on YouTube, look at me on YouTube. Just stare into me. Don't stare into me that way, but you know what I mean. If you're listening on audio, just picture me just scruffing my face, scruffing my beard, because guess what? This is a pretty soft and comfortable looking beard. I'm not going to lie. You know why that is? Let me tell you why. Because of the Beard Club. The Beard Club. Their products, the Beard Club, our partner here at Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, go and get their products. Men, if you want to buy products for yourself, there's grooming kits, there's body wash for your body hair needs, for your hair, your on top of your head needs, every need and grooming need that you can meet it at the Beard Club. Ladies, if you want your husband or your boyfriend or your significant other to look, just look, you know, fabulous, to look good with you, guys, just go to the Beard Club and get and order some grooming kits and to meet your facial hair and your grooming needs. Let them be met. Guys, deals are going on. 15% off deals going on at the Beard Club. Go to my link. Go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can go to the affiliations page. Click on the Beard Club logo and go to the Beard Club to get, you know, all your grooming needs met. Or you can go to my social media on Instagram, Facebook, or X. Go to my link tree. Go to my link tree and then click on the link tree. And there you can go and access the Beard Club through my link tree. The Beard Club. It's where your grooming needs are going to be met. Proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, NFL day to day. Let's talk about it, because I am... There's some stuff in Pro Day going on that I'm a little bit confused about. We're going to get to that. You probably already seen it and know about it, but we're going to talk about it, and I think it needs to be talked about. I honestly think that you're going to probably disagree with me on some cases, but I just feel like this is the old school way of doing things in my eyes, so... You know, just stay tuned to what I got to say about the Pro Days. Guys, let's dive into free agency really quick, and let's talk about some of the top things going on. It's a little bit of a recap, not too much. Jerome Baker signed with the Seahawks. That's a good signing. Shaquille Barrett signed with the Dolphins. Another good signing. Two good signings there. We're going to talk about, you know, let's talk about, you know, some of the other signings that went on, and this is one big signing that I kind of liked. and we're going to talk about it right now. And it's the Bengals. The Bengals signed former Patriots offensive tackle Trent Brown to a one-year deal. And I really like that signing. I'll tell you why I like that signing, because there's really only one offensive lineman for the Bengals right now. That's Orlando Brown. Orlando Brown, former Chiefs offensive lineman, Orlando Brown, now with the Bengals. He's the only star-studded offensive lineman that the Bengals have right now. Trent Brown was a solid offensive lineman for the Patriots for a very long time, protected Tom Brady for a while. He was a very good and underrated offensive lineman. He is what the Bengals need. Jonah Williams left the Bengals. A lot of other guys left the Bengals as well on the O-line. So for the interior offensive lineman, I think it is what, you know, I think it's what you need, right? And speaking of what we need for teams and everything, we can talk about that in a draft episode, a draft setting. I think closer towards the draft, I'm going to do an episode on what teams really need. On what teams need and what they should be looking for. And that's going to be in a few weeks when we get closer and closer to the draft as we continue to cover the draft, but like we're doing in this episode. But that's not this one. That we're going to talk about right now, the Bengals, they need offensive linemen. They need to protect Joe Burrow. The mission for 2024 for the Cincinnati Bengals is to protect Joe Burrow at all cost, at all cost. If you want him to try to stop Patrick Mahomes from getting that three-peat, if you want him to stay healthy to try to go to an AFC title, to win an AFC title, and fourth, to win the Super Bowl, fourth, to make a Super Bowl, fifth, to win the Super Bowl. If you want all that to happen, you're going to have to go to square one. Protect Joe Burrow. Let him make his throws. He didn't have time to throw because you can't throw when you're on your back, all right? And you can't throw when your arm's in a cast and when you're on the bench. So he needs guys to protect him. That is the key thing. I've been saying this since his rookie year. Since his rookie year, he is entering his fifth season in the league. He's entering his fifth year in the league. And I was doing the math in my head. Sorry for the long pause. But fifth year in the league. And I've been saying this for the past 4 to 5 years. He needs help. He needs help to make it to the top. Because Joe Burrow is a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl. And I know he is. And I think everybody out there, look into my eyes and I'm looking at you guys, know that he is a Super Bowl champion. You already know that he's a Super Bowl champion. So he can do it. You just need to get him the help. Now, do they need some receivers? Absolutely. T. Higgins is rumored to be leaving. Tyler Boyd is a free agency. They have Jamar Chase still there. Their top guy in Jamar Chase, luckily. But they need some help also. A lot of what's going on for the Bengals is rooted within not just the receivers. You can figure that out in another one. But is the offensive line. You got to figure out what's going on with the line. You got to get protection for Joe Burrow. You got to help him out. And in this case, offensive linemen may be the key to winning a Super Bowl. Maybe a key for the Bengals to win a Super Bowl. Trent Brown signing a one-year deal with the Bengals. Really, really good pickup there. Good offensive lineman. Works really hard. Very physical up front and blocks. Second to none amongst a lot of the offensive linemen in the NFL right now. Is he a Trent Williams? Probably not. But he is a pretty underrated choice for the Cincinnati Bengals. So now they got two good offensive linemen. Let's see what else they get on the interior O-line. So that one is there. For free agency, the Miami Dolphins are interested in free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham's a free agent again. He signed with Baltimore on a one-year deal last year. He did not. He announced that he was most likely not returning to Baltimore. His services are being sought after, and the Dolphins are really, really into him. So if you get a receiving room like Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, that's pretty solid. I'm not going to lie. That is really, really solid. So I think it's one of those things that you look at and you're thinking, oh man, this could really be it. You know, this could really do wonders right here. If you get an Odell Beckham in a Miami Dolphins uniform, he brings a lot of attention in the slot. in the slot area of the receiving, and he brings a lot of attention to when, you know, you're thinking about Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, right? We forgot about Odell Beckham. He can make you forget about him a little bit. I think when you think it's not a good trait to have, you don't want anybody to forget about you. In a way, it's kind of a good trait to have, you know, like, oh, we forgot about this guy. This guy can ball, and he can ball. He can do it. I think he can still do it. He can go at a high. He proved that he could probably still go at a high level. So let's see what happens. The Dolphins are interested in him. I do not know if the Beckham and his team are interested yet, but we know that the Dolphins are highly interested, and they really, really liked Odell Beckham at the receiving spot. So could be a good pickup there for the Miami Dolphins. Let's talk about one big pickup for the New Orleans Saints before we move on to some of the top two trades that we're going to discuss here in a minute, because I got my thoughts on those two. Let's talk about Chase Young. Chase Young, free agent, played the last year of his contract with San Francisco. He got traded from the Commanders to the 49ers during the trade deadline, played his last little bit of his contract out in with the Niners, and ended up becoming a free agent after. So free agent, didn't know what was going to happen, but lo and behold, was not going to return to the Niners, ended up signing with the New Orleans Saints. So the New Orleans Saints have signed defensive end Chase Young. Good asset there. He's a really, really good edge rusher, physical edge rusher, brings a lot of pressure to offensive linemen and quarterbacks alike out there. So really good signing. Only problem is he's going to be out until training camp. It was a little bit of, I wouldn't say too big of a concern because they still signed him. The Saints knew about it, but he is getting a neck procedure done. We will have to see how that ties into the season for 2024. But it shouldn't be too big of an issue because he's returning to training camp, and the Saints still signed him anyway. So he passed physicals, but he needed to get a neck procedure done. So, hey, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see what goes on there. Chase Young signing with the Saints. I think it's a good pickup. I think it brings a lot, to the Saints defensive front. I think Chase Young is going to be a huge asset now that they got Willie Gay. They got Willie Gay in the middle with DeMario Davis. That defense is stacking up. You got some star players on that Saints defense. Tyrann Mathieu, Willie Gay, DeMario Davis. You got Cam Jordan, it's Chase Young now. Got a lot of players on that defense. Marshawn Lattimore is still there, but there's been rumors about Marshawn Lattimore getting a trade from the Saints. We don't know yet, but there's a lot of players on that defense that makes that defense click. That defense is physical. That defense is tough, and it makes that Saints team a defensive team always. But when you look at their offense, that's what the team needs to focus on. They need to focus on play calling, not just play calling for the offensive coordinator. They need to focus on more weapons for Derek Carr. Now, I'm not saying that Derek Carr has been the superstar quarterback that everybody's needed, but if you can, if you can try to give him some help, maybe that could elevate Derek Carr into being not hot and cold, but hot, just straight hot. And some games he's going to have bad games. Everybody's going to have a bad game. That's just football. But when you have a week one, you're playing lights out. Week two, you're playing ice cold. Week three, you're playing okay. Then week four, you're not playing okay. It's hot and cold, man. It's inconsistent. The inconsistency, we got to stay on one pattern, have a bad game, stay on another pattern, right. You got to stay on one track. And then if you slip up a little bit, that's okay. Get back on that track. But you can't just go good, bad, good, bad, right? If you're seeing me on YouTube doing my hands, good, bad, wax on, wax off, right? You can't keep doing that. You got to stay consistent. Now, if he gets those weapons and he's still inconsistent, the Saints may have another issue on their hands. So I'm not gonna talk about that, but I'm just telling you there now. But went into all that, but the real thing about this is Saints signed Chase Young. Good player, strong player, good physical edge rusher, presents a dominant presence to offensive linemen and a dominant dominant opposition to the quarterback. So good on good on, you know, the Saints for signing him and for Chase Young getting him. Prayers go out to him, and hopefully, you know, he gets everything right with his neck procedure. Let's talk about these trades, because I got some stuff to say about these trades. Here we go. And we were wondering after free agency what's going to happen with, you know, the Steelers, what's going to happen with Justin Fields. I love how everything ties in. You know, it literally, football is just so good with that. It really just ties in to everything. It really does. You ask questions and you're wondering, okay, so since Russell Wilson is going to be, you know, there, what's the competition going to look like between Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson? Well, there's not going to be any competition. There's not. And I'll tell you why. Because the Eagles have traded for Kenny Pickett. That's right. The Steelers trade Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles. They traded him this past Friday. I got messaged that, and I was just like sitting there going, what? There's no competition? Russell Wilson's going to get the starting job, number one starter. Mason Rudolph is a free agent. I'm pretty sure that he may not sign with the Steelers again. He may go somewhere else, but Mason Rudolph proved to be a good threat as a backup last year. So just saying. Kenny Pickett is now going to be the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, backing up Jalen Hurts. Now, if Jalen Hurts, something happens to him, then Kenny Pickett will obviously go in there and play. But Kenny Pickett will back up Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles. He will no longer start for the Steelers, and he is gone from Pittsburgh. Kind of shocking a little bit. I honestly, if you want to have my thoughts on it, would have probably, if you want to be real, competed with Russell Wilson for the starting job. If Russell Wilson wins, he wins. But I would give Kenny Pickett another chance. I didn't feel like Kenny Pickett got a full chance like that he did in Pittsburgh when he got drafted. He's in the third year of his rookie contract. If anybody, you know, really wants to know, I guess he's he's in the third year of his rookie contract. If you know, 2022. Draft, so he got drafted in 2022. He's going to be in the third year of his rookie contract coming into this year. So, I mean, he didn't really have a full chance to play with Pittsburgh. So, if you want to know my thoughts on it, I would have kept him, and I would have battled it out with Russell Wilson for the starting job. I would have given him that chance. But I'm not the owner of the GM. I don't have any front office say in the Steelers. I don't have any say with the Steelers. I'm just giving you my thoughts on my show, right? I'm just giving you my thoughts on my show. So, just saying. I would have probably kept him and battled it out. But guess what? That's not all. Kenny Pickett is now a Philadelphia Eagle. Those are my thoughts on Kenny Pickett. And I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he needs more room to develop, but I don't know how he's going to develop behind Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? So we'll see. It may make him look better. It may get him better. We'll see, as he's now a Philadelphia Eagle. So we'll see what's going on with Kenny Pickett there. Still in Pennsylvania. Yeah, still in Pennsylvania for his Kenny Pickett, but we'll see what's going on, you know, with the Eagles and what's going on with, you know, Kenny Pickett there as he is now the new backup quarterback for the Eagles. So those are my thoughts on that, but it's not all. Like I said, it's not all because it all ties in, right? It all ties in. The Steelers made another trade, and it was with the Chicago Bears for quarterback Justin Fields. And you're thinking, you're just going to trade away Kenny Pickett, your starting quarterback for the past 2 years, who you really didn't give a chance to begin with, for another guy who, honestly, in my opinion, is a little bit better developed than Pickett and is a solid quarterback. You're going to trade for Justin Fields, who could be the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could play right now. Trade for him. You got the guy. So the Chicago Bears have traded him. Didn't think they should to begin with, but they did. They traded him. Then you're going to sit and say, okay, Justin, you're a Steeler. You're a Pittsburgh Steeler. Congratulations. But you're going to be on the bench because you're not going to compete. Russell Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback going into week one. I just threw my pencil down. I just threw my pen down. I I just threw my pen down. See, I just got it on my keyboard. Luckily, the recording didn't stop after that. But listen, I just threw it up because I was thinking to myself, are you serious? You're not going to give Justin Fields a shot to compete for the job? He needs a shot to compete for the job. You see what he did? You saw what he did in Chicago? I mean, listen, a lot of people are going to sit there, and this is my, okay, here we go. Here we go again, Joel. Here goes Joel on another tirade again. I think that Justin Fields is a solid quarterback, and he wasn't developed properly. Okay, he wasn't developed properly. Go look at his stats, and I want everybody to go look at his stats. He was on par with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson won the NFL MVP. All right, he won the NFL MVP. He was on par with them. He was on par with him, both of them in the first, around midseason. Reason why he wasn't in consideration was because the team he was on. He doesn't have any weapons. He did not have any weapons besides one, Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet's a very underrated tight end. I like Cole Kmet. He did not have the weapons around him, and he needs more. He needs more weapons. The free agency for the Bears was fantastic. You had DeAndre Swift. You picked up Keenan Allen. You have DJ Moore still on the team. Two solid receivers with DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen. Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift, you have a solid defense that's starting to come in and come together now. Justin Fields could have worked with that, but you did not take the time to develop him a little bit more. No, you're going to draft a quarterback and develop him even more. You have more to develop with Caleb Williams than you do with Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is a solid quarterback. I'm not going to sit there and deny that. He's not a bad quarterback. But Justin Fields has Justin Fields has less development to go through than Caleb Williams. Why? Because he's been in the league longer. He has made some spectacular plays that the Bears couldn't even really comprehend. The Bears won at least 7 to 8 games. And they weren't supposed to win even that. They weren't even supposed to win 7 to 8 games. The only reason why they got the number one pick is because of the trade that happened with the Carolina Panthers. That's the only reason why they got why they are the mandatory number one pick. Usually the team with the worst record, Carolina Panthers, gets the number one draft pick. But they didn't this year. The Bears have that because it was mandatory. So Ryan Polk wants his own quarterback. And I understand that. Justin Fields wasn't his quarterback when Ryan Polk came in to become the GM. He wanted a face of the franchise, his own face of the franchise. And Caleb Williams looks like it's going to be that guy in Chicago. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I think Caleb Williams most likely will become the number one draft pick. But it just is a shame that Justin Fields didn't get the proper chance. I mean, he got the chance. Don't get me wrong, but they didn't take the chance to develop him even more because he showed some promise this season. So Justin Fields is a Steeler. I still think he should be competing for the Steelers job. Nothing against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. He's Danger Russ, right? Get it from his Instagram handle. But he is he's a good quarterback. But Justin Fields has played better. You know what? Let me just say it. I think Justin Fields has been a little bit better than Russell Wilson. I think Justin Fields should start or have a chance to start at least. I think Russell Wilson's a solid quarterback. Do I think he can? Does Russell Wilson deserve a chance to start? Absolutely. But don't tell me there's not going to be a competition between the two. Because there needs to be a competition between the two because Justin Fields has every right to start as well. So those are my thoughts on the trade. Pickett going to the Eagles. Fields going to the Steelers to back up Russell Wilson. All in shambles. But hey, Chicago needs a quarterback now, right? Time to draft one. So anyway, that is the latest on free agency. That's the latest on, all the trades and what's going on down there. Probably not going to be the longest episode of Pigskin Frenzy, but I mean, it's still a pretty good one, right? I mean, going into 25 minutes of this episode as we are recording right now Guys, again, thank you for listening and thank you for tuning in every Thursday for NFL edition of Pigskin Frenzy. Let's talk about Pro Days. Let's talk about Pro Days. The start of Pro Days. Pro Days is the alternate to the combine, as I call it. The alternate to the combine. If you don't work out, so here's the deal. There used to be with the Pro Day, with the combine, is everybody would go to the combine, everybody would draft, you know, or not draft, everybody would work out at the combine. The main results were from the combine, and then there would be pro days behind that to see if you would want to, you know, try to get better and improve at stuff. Now people have a chance to opt out at one or the other, right? Have a chance to opt out at one or the other. This is going to come into play here in a little bit, so just stick with me on this podcast episode. Just stick with me. It's going to come into play in a little bit. Just trust me. Have a chance to opt out from one or the other. You can do the combine and say, you know what? I don't want to do the pro day. I'll just hold interviews. I could do a private workout if I wanted to. And then, you know, talk to scouts, talk to organizations about if they can draft me or not. Or you can opt out of the combine, right? And just do solid interviews. Just do full interviews. Interviews only, opt out of the physicals, opt out of the whole workout and physical part of the combine, and then just wait until you work out and do physicals on pro day, right? A lot of top players in this draft have done that or and are doing that. Besides one, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But some of them do both, and a lot of them do both. Do, you know, combine and then do the pro day because they want a chance to keep improving and keep showing scouts, hey, man, that's a top five player right there. Or, hey, man, we can take him mid first round or late the second or you know, you what have you, right? So, and by the way, as we discuss this, this probably will affect, in my eyes, how I do my round one mock draft on the draft special episode. Because we're going to have a, like we did last year, we're going to have a draft special episode on Thursday. It's going to be in a few weeks. In one month's time, we're going to have a draft special episode of Pigskin Frenzy, and I cannot wait for it. I'm excited. A draft special of Pigskin Frenzy, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to have our round one mock draft of, you know, of the NFL draft before the draft happens on that episode. So, after that episode, the draft will happen. So, anyway. That's not what we're going to talk about. That's a month's time. We're talking about pro days. Let's go into one pro day that you should want to talk about. Let's talk about Oregon's pro day. And some of the results, that we can get, right? So I want to talk about it. Bo Nix had a heck of a pro day. I know that Bo Nix had a heck of a pro day. Troy Franklin had a heck of a pro day as well. And let me want to tell you something. When I look at the Oregon's pro day, when I look at Troy Franklin and a lot of the guys, Bucky Irving, he was in it too. And as I look at the list right here, Bucky Irving, we had Troy Franklin, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Troy Franklin. Yeah, I really am high on those three players. I do really like Bucky Irving and what he did, the speed he showed in the pro days. His hands are not an issue with Bucky Irving. His hands are 9.5 in eighth quarters. His wingspan is great. His vertical jump was 31.5, good vertical jump. Did not run a 40. He ran a 40 at the combine. But Bucky Irving is a very underrated running back prospect in this year's draft. I think if you need a good, solid back who can also, you know, you can do a slip pass to him and he can get some yards receiving out of it, I think Bucky Irving's your go-to if you want him. I think he is a top five running back in this draft class. I think he proved to be a dynamic threat for Oregon's offense this past season. You've heard me talk about him on college football episodes for Pigskin Frenzy. So he proved to be a good threat for Oregon. I think for an NFL team, whoever drafts him is going to be lucky. I think he's going to present a good, you know, a good advantage, you know, for, you know, for any team that really drafts him. He looked good physically. He caught the ball really well. His vertical jump was impressive. He's a tremendous athlete. I think he's a very underrated back in this draft, and I think someone's going to be lucky to draft Bucky Irving. So Bucky Irving looked really, really good. Troy Franklin looked good. I think for the wide receiver spot, I think it comes without a shadow of a doubt. He's, you know, a very underrated, you know, very underrated tight end. I really do. I think he's a very underrated tight end. He's 183 pounds. Yes. His hands are, I mean, eight and a half and eighth quarters. His arms, 31 3/4. Wingspan, 77 and a half wingspan. Didn't do a vertical jump. He did not do a 40-yard dash. He did all that at the combine. But when you look at the incredible, you know, features and present, like in presence of Troy Franklin and what he did in that offense with Oregon last season, he was a dog. He was an absolute dog. He's in a very underrated receiver. What is he up there with Roma Dunsey? Is he up there with Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or Keon Coleman? He may not be, but it is a very heavy receiving class this year. I would not be surprised if Troy Franklin could be a steal in the late first round or early second round of this year's draft. Do I have him going first round right now? I do not know. I think I'm going to evaluate it and see. But when I look at Troy Franklin, he is a solid pickup. Just don't put him on the Chiefs, because the Chiefs, they'll use him. So if y'all want to figure out a way to stop the Chiefs, don't get guys like this. So Troy Franklin is a tremendous athlete. He is a tremendous. He's got the wheels. He's a speedy guy. He's more of a powerful wide receiver. He's got a very good, you know, physical presence to him. So I really like Troy Franklin. I really liked him as a receiver. I could see him going late first round, early second, maybe. But let's see how it goes. I think he did really, really well at the combine and at the pro day. Real quick. Two more for Oregon. Jackson Powers Johnson did really, really well, and he's an interior offensive lineman, and he's a blocking machine. He really helped out Bo Nix up front. He dominated almost up front in a lot of the games they played. Jackson Powers Johnson proved to be a dynamic threat. For their offense, weighs 326 pounds, got really good hands, really good blocking ability, speedy for an offensive lineman as well, and he's got good arms, he's got a good wingspan, 84 1/8 of a wingspan, wingspan 78 5/8. I was reading off the wrong chart, 78 5/8 of a wingspan for Jackson Powers Johnson, but didn't do the vertical jump, didn't do the dash. But when you look at him, he's speedy, got some good hands and good arm strength and good physical presence up front. So whoever needs an offensive lineman, Cincinnati or the New York Giants or anybody out there, not trying to name drop, but let's just tell it how it is. You need some help out there. Get a very underrated lineman out there is Jackson Powers Johnson. He may not be up there right now in the top two with Joe Alt or with J.C. Latham, but Jackson Powers Johnson has proven to be a good threat up front for Bo Nix, and he protected Bo Nix. So let's see where he lands there. I think he's a solid choice. He may go second round, maybe, but let's see what happens with Jackson Powers Johnson. He had a good pro day as well for the Ducks. Let's talk about Bo Nix before we move on to Alabama's pro day. And before we, go on to Alabama's, USC's, and Ohio State. So Bo Nix, obviously 217 pounds. He threw the ball really, really well. He did not do any of the vertical jumps and all that stuff. He did that at the combine. If you want to go look at his stats on there, you can go to NFL Network or go on NFL.com and look at the stats. But Bo Nix, from what I saw at the pro day, at his pro day, wasn't sensational. He did throw, And he did look good. He looked a lot better than he presented himself at the Senior Bowl. He did not have a really good Senior Bowl, practice and game, but he kind of turned it around at the combine, and he especially turned it around throwing the ball at Oregon's Pro Day. So a lot of scouts have him going outside the first round, which I could see. I could see it being he can be a second round pick or maybe a third round pick, but probably most likely a second round pick. But Bo Nix looks like a quarterback that could start out maybe as a backup, but also could work his way into, oh, hey, this guy can actually get, let's give him a shot at starting for an NFL team. So let's see what Bo Nix brings to the table. He threw the ball really well. He made some good decisions. He looked incredible with Oregon. I mean, he was nominated. He was a Heisman finalist. There was talk about him winning the Heisman Trophy this past season. Let's see if he brings that, and that translates into the NFL. But he looked really, really good at his pro day as well. That was Oregon's pro days, and those are some of the main players from Oregon's pro day. And a lot of scouts were really high on these players. So Oregon's got a lot of talent going into the NFL draft, you know, especially coming out of their pro day. Let's talk honestly, and I want to talk about this. It happened yesterday. And it was, you know, it was Alabama's pro day, and we're going to talk about it, and I think we need to talk about it. Kool-Aid McKinstry did really, really well. Honestly, he looked really, really well. If we can just, you know, if I can just go to my notes here. I'm trying to figure out where it is. Here we go, I think. So Kool-Aid McKinstry ran a 40-yard dash. We knew that he was, you know, going to be a top defensive back in the draft, and he just looked good, right? He looked good. He's a solid player. So he ran the 40-yard dash, had a Jones fracture in his foot as well. Kool-Aid McKinstry was a solid threat to anybody he went up against, when he was at Alabama last season. He proved to be a solid defensive back, guarded really, really well, was on receivers really, really well. He got beat out a couple of times, but not often. Kool-Aid McKinstry proved to be solid, along with Terry and Arnold. Arnold is getting more love going into the NFL draft than McKinstry is, but McKinstry, I ain't gonna lie, proved me, he climbed up a little bit on my draft board in the first round for sure. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he showed some speed, and he has a Jones fracture in his foot. Did I tell you guys that he had a fracture in his foot? He had a fracture in his foot, and he still ran a 4.47, a 4.47 40-yard dash at the pro day. He looked extremely fast. He is in my opinion, a top prospect in this year's draft when it comes to the secondary. If you need a secondary, which the Buccaneers now do because they traded Carlton Davis to the Detroit Lions. Buccaneers, if you're listening, look at Kool-Aid McKinstry a little bit. He looked pretty solid. So I'm not going to lie. He looked really, really good running the 40-yard dash. So if you want to talk about, you know, if you want to look at everything with, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry and everyone, go and look at Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. Terry and Arnold, he ran today. He was really, really fast today as well. He looked good. If you look at Alabama's talent and if you look at what they presented at the pro days as well, they all looked really good. Dallas Turner worked out. He looked really, really good. Kool-Aid McKinstry looked really, really good, especially with him, his foot being hurt. Terry and Arnold looked really, really good. He caught really, really well. He had a good vertical jump. He had a good 40. He worked out really, really well. I think Terry and Arnold, to me, was the most impressive in other categories. I think the speed factor goes to Kool-Aid. But if you want to look at, you know, some of the factors that came with, other physical aspects, I looked at Dallas Turner and I looked at Terry and Arnold and I was thinking, wow, these are some studs, man. These are some first round players in the NFL draft in 1 month's time. They looked really good. They were really professional. The scouts were really, really high on them, and I'm really high on them. So Alabama's players, they looked really, really good today at Pro Day. And if I'm being honest, you could do no wrong drafting Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry off the board first. You could do no wrong, honestly. They looked extremely good. So when I look at them and when I see them, they're first round talents. That's all I got to say. They are first round talents. So Kool-Aid McKinstry, he shined. Terrion Arnold shined. He ran a 4.47. Kool-Aid McKinstry did. Terrion Arnold, J.C. Latham, he was really, really good as well. He presents a very good presence in the offensive line game. I would not be surprised, honestly, would not be surprised if him or Joe Alt are one of the first ones taken off the board. So they both look good today as well. Alabama's talent, they showed out at Pro Day. Arnold, McKinstry, Latham, and Dallas Turner, they all look really good working out at their Pro Day. So that was Alabama's Pro Day. Let's talk about USC's Pro Day. Brendan Rice was tremendous. He looked good catching the ball. His vertical jump was really, really good as well. Caleb Williams was the one that everybody was going out to see. Caleb Williams, tremendous. He looked good in the USC Pro Day. He threw a 70-yard dart down the field, 70 yards down the field. That ball had some air to it. He is the presumptive number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears will be on the clock then. They are really high on him, and it's looking like that they are going to take Caleb Williams, especially after the pro day that he had. He looked good. He worked out. Caleb Williams in pro day for USC, you know, he had a good throwing day for sure. They said that he was a quote unquote a physical spectacle. He threw the ball well. He was having some fun. He looked like he was having some fun. Washington Commanders were there. Houston Texans were there. Looking at offensive linemen and receivers, the Bears were obviously there. Looking at Caleb Williams' workout, and he showed some flashes. He threw the ball 70 yards down the field. He ran. He looked really, really well, too. Ryan Polk, the GM, was talking to Caleb Williams as well. He looked really, really good. He's been having dinner with the Chicago Bears, and he was looking like a superstar quarterback at that pro day. So Caleb Williams had a really good pro day. He worked out. His numbers were good. I think he did physicals with the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders, if I'm not mistaken. So Caleb Williams had a really, really good pro day. Brendan Rice, in my opinion, was showing out as well. The 49ers are looking at him as well. Kind of fitting. Son of Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, one of the best receivers of all time, or the best receiver of all time in a lot of people's minds and words, and pretty much is. So Brendan Rice, the 49ers are looking at him. The Commanders are looking at him. The Texans are looking at him because they need some more receivers, right? So they're looking at him as well. Brendan Rice showed out at USC's Pro Day. And that pairing right there, Caleb Williams and Brendan Rice, they both looked really, really good. So at the Pro Day, Caleb Williams, Brendan Rice at USC's Pro Day, they showed out. So that's Oregon's Pro Day. That was Alabama's Pro Day. That was USC's Pro Day. One more Pro Day before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. And before we can, you know, this is part of the draft, guys. So this is part of the NFL draft coverage that we're talking about is the Pro Day. So let's talk about Alabama. Let's talk about Ohio State's Pro Day before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. And I have a topic that we're going to talk about to end the episode with, and it's kind of fitting to talk about it. Ohio State's Pro Day, and everybody looked good. Everybody looked good. Xavier Johnson looked good. Mayan Williams, Cade Stover, they looked really good running the ball. Mayan Williams was still rehabbing from his knee injury, but he is a very underrated running back prospect in this draft, and he was trying to prove himself in that pro day by running the ball and doing physicals, and he looked good. He didn't look bad. I think that there are some backs that I would take before Mayan Williams, but Mayan Williams did not look good. Well, he did look good, but I would probably take some other running backs ahead of him. But he still looked good and had a good showing of the Ohio State Pro Day. Cade Stover, a very underrated tight end prospect for Ohio State going into this draft. He looked good. His hands looked good. He caught the ball really well. He ran really well. And he presents a very physical threat, especially as a blocking tight end going into the league. He is a top five tight end, in my opinion, in my eyes, I think, in this class. I think Cade Stover would be a good choice if you want a tight end in the NFL. And it presents a really good physical aspect as a tight end for most NFL teams. He's a good blocking tight end. He looks really good. So he looked good at the pro day today as well. Xavier Johnson looked really good at the pro day as well. He was really fast, and he looked really good too. So there were a lot of guys that showed up, a lot of guys that showed out. Michael Hall, he looked really, really good. Steel Chambers, he looked good. I think Tommy Eichenberg looked good. He may need to clean up some stuff a little bit, but he looked good during the pro day. A lot of these athletes here for Ohio State looked really, really good. The wingspan for Mayan Williams was quite shocking, I thought. It was a little bit higher than I expected it was going to be, but his 40 was good. He looked good, but again, I would still take other running backs probably ahead of Mayan Williams, but he is a good back when you need a power back. He is a good back to have. Cade Stover was the most impressive in my eyes today at the Ohio State Pro Day. That's my coverage of all the Pro Days for Oregon, USC, Alabama, and Ohio State. Next week, we will talk about more pro days. We will talk, including North Carolina's and LSU next Thursday on Pigskin Frenzy. But let's, to end this episode, let's talk about something that caught my eye at the Ohio State Pro Day. Marvin Harrison Jr. And you're going to think, don't go there. I'm going to go there. So he did not work out at the combine. Understandable. You can opt out at one or the other. I said to stay with me, and I hope you guys are staying with me, and you did stay with me. So, he opted out of the combine and did a full day of interviews, didn't show up the next day at combine, actually left Indianapolis. So, he did not work out at the pro day. He opted out at the pro day. He's just doing interviews. Didn't work out. A lot of the top prospects are working out at pro days. A lot of the top prospects are working out at pro days. All right? He didn't work out at the pro day. He didn't work out at the combine. Does he have a special workout coming up? I don't know. I don't hear anything scouting-wise on Marvin Harrison other than he won the Biletnikoff, other than he is a great route runner. He's second to none, the best wide receiver in this class, and he's the best wide receiver. It was the best wide receiver in college football. That's all I heard. That's all I've heard about him. But how do we know a lot of it can translate into the NFL? Do I think he's going to be a solid receiver in the NFL? I think I will agree and say, yeah, I think he will be a solid receiver in the NFL. My thing is this. You got to prove yourself to some of these scouts. You have to prove yourself to some of these GMs and scouts because they want to get an inside look at you to see, okay, can we put value in you? Can we put money into you? Can we build you? Can you be an asset to our team? Can you help us get to where we want to be as an organization? You're a part of that plan on offense to score points for us, to win us games. That is all of what the pro day and the combine is about. That is what the evaluators, the scouts, the GMs, the people, that's what they're doing their jobs for, to see if we can put stock and trust in you and value into our organization and our team. Can you help out our team? That's what you're trying to show. But Marvin Harrison's not showing that. He hadn't showed it at the combine. He hadn't showed it at the pro day. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I hope everything's okay. Something is up with this. He's missed two big workouts, the combine and the pro day. If he is all right and he just doesn't decide to work out, then how is this going to affect his draft stock? Could Roma Dunsey jump him? Could Malik Nabers jump him? Because those two receivers are highly capable of jumping a Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a solid receiver. He's a top five player. He can be a top five player, and he's one of the best. He is top three receivers in this draft class. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying how special he is. He is a special player. He's a good player. He's a baller. He's a dog at Ohio State, yes. But can this hurt his draft stock? A lot of people are going to say, no, Joel, it's not going to hurt his draft stock because he's Marvin Harrison Jr. I get that, but I get that his dad is a Hall of Famer and is in the name behind Marvin Harrison Jr. means something, and it's because of the name and because of what he did in college was special. I get that. But in other players, if they skip two workouts like this, this would hurt their draft stock. This would hurt their draft stock. So is this going to hurt his draft stock? That's my big question about everything with Marvin Harrison Jr. and with everything going on with Ohio State. Is this going to hurt his draft stock? I'm curious about that. And let me guys know what you think. Message me, comment down below. Could this hurt him? I don't know. We'll see. But he's a solid receiver, but was it the right choice to miss Pro Day? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Marvin Harrison. Those are my thoughts. I don't think he should have missed it. I think he should have stayed. I think he should have interviewed at the combine the whole time. I just don't like the approach heading into the April and heading into the draft. I don't know if I like this approach or not. But that's just my thoughts. I'm the old school way of thinking. I am a guy to where you participate in the combine and or the pro day, or both, or you participate in one or the other, or both. I'm that guy. So anyway, that's all I got for Pigskin Frenzy. Again, that's not me hating on Marvin Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison is a top five player, top three receiver taken off the board. Good player. Most likely will be in my top five. Not saying that. But could this hurt him a little bit? I do not know. We'll see. Guys, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, and Facebook, all you got to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get Instagram trivia question stories. Go and answer today's NFL one, as well as all things of today for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com to check out everything and everything and updates on all things Pigskin Frenzy. Click on my link tree, guys. Get some products at the Beer Club. You're not going to be disappointed. Our partners at the Beer Club, shout out to them for making everything possible to them. Beer Club, meet your grooming needs. Guys, we will be back Tuesday for our very first 2024 spring outlooks. We're going to talk about some spring football. Spring practices have already started. We're going to talk about some spring football, some 2024 spring football here on Tuesday on the College Football Edition of Pigskin Frenzy. And until Tuesday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then for another edition of Pigskin Frenzy. Have a great weekend, guys. And for everybody out there, please and always stay the course.